And welcome to this week's Irish Woes podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and this week our guest is the man who's responsible for getting the Irish Woes Supporters Club back up and running again in 2011. So, without further ado, I'd introduce you to the current Secretary of the Irish Woes, Andy Taylor. Hi Andy, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks Tony, how's it going?
Ah, okay, keeping moving, as they say. Just to start our little chat, I was just wondering, when did you actually come over here to the Emerald Isle?
So I arrived here in 2008. I came over, I think it was the July in 2008. I moved to County Mayo and I was living with my uncle in the little town of Lewisburg. And I was with my uncle for a couple of months and then I ended up renting a place at the foot of the Reek, as it's known here in Ireland, Crowpatrick, and not long after that, then after a few months, I moved into Westport Town as well. So I was there in Mayo for 3.5 years from 2008.
Very good. And so you were here a couple of years before you decided you needed to get all us errant Wolves supporters together. So you started, you went through the process of trying to set up the Irish Wolves in 2011. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so basically what had happened was, obviously, you know, in 2008, 2009, Wolves had gotten promoted, which was typical that I'd come over to live in Ireland and Wolves got promoted to the Premier League. But I did manage to get back and see a few games. But the other thing was, of course, I'd met a fellow English lad, Adam Smith, who actually just happened to live around the corner from me in Westport, which was a coincidence. Right. He was also a big Wolves fan. We got chatting and, you know, we were talking about other Wolves fans. And I knew that there had been an Irish Wolves supporters club in the past. Didn't know, hadn't seen anything about it, though, you know. And with the onset of social media and being on Facebook and all, I hadn't seen anything. And I think I had a bit of a look as well and looked on the Wolves website at the time to see, was there any information about overseas supporters clubs? I couldn't find anything. So I just started a Facebook page. And to start with, you know, obviously, we only literally, you could count the people that joined it on your two hands.
Yeah.
And I knew that I had to get the word out there. So put my hand in my pocket and paid for a bit of advertising on Facebook and advertised it on Facebook, and the numbers fairly shot up pretty quickly, you know, once word got around and people obviously, you know, passed it on to their friends and so on. And it started to grow quite quickly. And of course, then that way I met yourself. And I know you had your Facebook page and we amalgamated the pages and, you know, got people to join just the one group and kind of went from there, really. So from the Facebook page then, I do remember, because that was probably running for maybe a year to 2 years maybe. And one or two people were fairly eager to organise trips to go over to matches and that, you know. And I knew myself that was going to be a really difficult thing to do just based on a Facebook group. We would need a proper supporters club to do that. But the other thing was, I knew that ultimately the people that were in the Facebook group were spread across the whole of Ireland. It wasn't like if it was just a group based in Dublin and we could all hop on a coach and go on the ferry together. It was trying to organise people from all over Ireland to travel over to Wolverhampton was too much to ask at that point.
Yeah. So, were you still in Westport at this stage, Andy?
Yeah, I was still living in Westport at that point. So basically, what I ended up doing was, I think it might have been from talking to yourself, I think you'd said to me, Mick McQuillan used to be involved in the old supporters club, the original kind of one. Yeah. And you gave me his number. I rang him, said what I was interested in doing, and he gave me a list of about 40 or 50 people's names. I can't remember. I think he must have emailed them to me.
Yeah.
And I sat down one day and just basically went through the list, ringing people. Asking them did they want to, you know, get involved in an Irish Wolves supporters club. And, of course, everybody was up for it. So we arranged a date, basically said to people, look, you know, we're going to have a meeting at Nancy Hand's Bar in Dublin. And we basically went from there.
Yeah. And that meeting was, well, that was in 2011.
Yeah, that would have been, I can't remember exactly when. Probably it's sometime in the summertime, June or July in 2011. As I say, I just basically put the word out to people. I advertised it, of course, on the Facebook page. And fair play, there was a good few people. I can't remember exactly how many, but obviously there was, you know, I guess there would have been a lot of old faces from the original supporters club turned up. And then there were new people like myself who didn't even know about the original supporters club or hadn't previously known about it. We elected a board, a committee, I should say.
Yeah.
And it just went from there, basically,
Yeah, and I suppose the same committee are still intact as today. So that's probably a good sign, or maybe not. We don't know.
Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, like, in many ways, it's been a good thing that we've kept the same committees for the last 10 years, basically. But, because at least there's a bit of continuity.
Yep.
However, yourself, it's good to bring somebody, a bit of fresh blood in, some fresh ideas, and get other people involved so that members of the group or people on the periphery of the group don't just think it's the same people getting tickets for matches or whatever it may be all the time or running the club the whole time. But as you know yourself, Tony, I mean, you've been on the committee with me for 10 years. We say every year, anybody interested in joining the committee, and it's very difficult to get people to actually get involved in running the club. People obviously enjoy being members of the club and going to matches and meeting up, but actually doing the donkey work, it's hard to get people involved.
Yeah, and probably one of the main things, that the fact that so many of the committee members are actually season ticket holders, it kind of gives you that clear slate that when people are looking for tickets that you're not one of those people, that you're taking applications at face value from people when they're looking for tickets. So that's probably is an advantage, But
absolutely, yeah.
But just moving on then, I suppose, into the following year, the Easter trip was the big occasion in 2012 and the player of the year for that year and that. So how did that come about?
Well, I think, going back to even before we'd organised an actual supporters club, when people have been asking, let's organise a trip and let's organise, going to Wolves together. So we basically said, look, there's no point having a supporters club that doesn't actually go over and support. So even though there were members, of course, regularly going over to matches, we said we should really organise for us to travel over as a group, or certainly meet in Wolverhampton as a group to attend the matches that were available to us during the Easter weekend.
Yeah.
And of course, the other thing then was, being our first season, of course, we wanted to get our name out there and also show our support to individual players as well as the team. So obviously we had our inaugural Player of the Season award, which we obviously made available to all of the paid up members to vote for their Player of the Season. And we went over, and of course, at that time, things hadn't gone very well. We'd had our embarrassment against West Brom, and Mick McCarthy had gone. But as it turned out, we obviously we awarded our Player of the Season award to Stephen Fletcher. Now, despite all the turmoil, I mean, the good thing was we still could have access to Compton Training Ground and go down there, and we met John Hendley, affectionately known as Foz. And he was brilliant with us, when he took us in, and we met Terry Connor, and we obviously presented Stephen Fletcher, and then we were brought into the gym and sort of managed to see the players training in the gym. And we also managed to then also see them, I think we might have seen them training outside for a bit as well.
So it was
good, really, to have all that access, which there's not a hope that we'd get that these days,
Yeah, I was just thinking actually about that weekend that it was our first experience, I suppose, of the Premier League, and its little idiosyncrasies. And we had arranged two games, and then Sky moved the Monday game, which was Arsenal at home, to the following Wednesday. And so at least we had a trip to Compton. I suppose, really, looking back at it, after the first year had been set up, we got relegated from the Premier League, and then 12 months later, down to League One. I think we were beginning to wonder, was it a good idea setting up the club? But anyway, current times probably tell us that it was.
Absolutely, I was just going to say 10 years on the road, it's obviously we're doing something right,
Yeah. But apart from travelling over for the Easter trips, I suppose we did get a chance to go to a lot of pre-season training sessions before China took over. But, we were able to, a lot of the pre-season events were in Ireland, and the memories from any of those, I suppose we'd Malahide, Carton House, we had Cork, and we had Bray, where we had friendlies and we got to see training. So do you have any good memories of those?
Yeah, I mean, I think actually not long after we'd started the supporters club, Wolves had come over for a bit of a pre-season tour, and they trained at Carlton House. So Mick McCarthy was obviously still there at that time. So that was the summer before. It literally must have been not long after we started the club. So yeah, that was good. We obviously got to meet the players then at that time. It was the first time I think we'd been there. Because from memory, I think Wolves had gone to Carlton House on two occasions, and I'm certain we'd been to Carlton House on two occasions. We'd also been to, as you say, we'd been to Malahide. Now, I know Mick McCarthy was manager one of the times they were at Carlton House. I can't actually remember who was. Stalas Solbakken, wasn't it?
Solbakken was the second time, I think, in 2012-13, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Because actually, the great thing about that was, you know, we obviously got to meet Stalas Solbakken, and he actually gave us a Wolves pennant, you know, and I actually still have it hanging on the office wall here in my house. But that was good. And trying to think now, the other one, Malahide, of course.
We did a good trip to Cork and then down Fota Island, and that where they were training down there.
That's right, yeah. So. It's been good, really. I mean, we got really lucky in that. I think initially, Wolves came to Ireland for pre-season tours and to train in certain places like Carlton House and Malahide and down in Cork, predominantly because initially Mick McCarthy was manager. But then for a couple of seasons after, they stuck with it because they knew, you know, they had a few not massively challenging games against League of Ireland clubs, but it just gave them a bit of a run out and that, you know, and gave them a bit of a fitness practice as much as anything, fitness and so on. And they knew that there was good facilities available to them in a lot of these places, and it wasn't far for them to travel either, you know.
And of course,
but it gave us a massive opportunity to meet players, meet managers, get our pictures in the paper. Because, of course, the other great thing is that, you know, the media department from Molineux come over, we end up getting our picture on the official Wolves website. The Express and Star over, they always used to interview a few of us and take our picture and stick it in the Express and Star. So it was all great publicity for us back in those days, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose it was a good opportunity for us to pick up new members, because people that wouldn't necessarily have been members of the club would have come along just knowing that with publicity that Wolves were training at these events. But it was a good way to pick up members. And I suppose Mick picked up Matt Doherty as well at one of these trips, so everybody benefited.
But
just in terms of the club and as the years have gone by, like you do a lot of meetings around the country.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things in the early days. You know, our initial meeting would have been in Dublin, and I think we held, you know, we've probably held I was going to say the majority of meetings in Dublin, but that wouldn't be quite right. But Dublin has had perhaps more meetings than other parts of the country, just because it's the central location for the AGM, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, when it's come, we decided, I think, some years ago that we would at least have one meeting in every province. And so when it comes to having a meeting in Leinster, well, sure enough, Dublin's it seems the sensible choice, just for transport links as much as anything else, you know.
Yeah.
But then, as you say, we've held meetings in Galway, we've held meetings in Roscommon, we've had meetings down in Cork, and of course, when it comes to the north, we've held meetings. It's quite funny, actually, thinking about it. The very first meeting we had up north, we kind of barely crossed the border because we held it in Newry. The next time we went a bit further up,
Banbridge, was it?
Banbridge. And then we've had two, if not three, meetings in Belfast now. And of course, with the other season, Wolves playing Crusaders in the Europa League, in the first round of the Europa League, it was the perfect opportunity to meet up there. And the other great thing is, it was never our intention to be purely a supporters club for the Republic of Ireland. We always intended to have supporters from Northern Ireland, and of course to make the supporters club for everybody from Northern Ireland to be welcome, no matter what community they came from as well. So it's been really good that we have held meetings in Northern Ireland, and people from Northern Ireland have joined us and become members, and then of course it was the sort of the cream on the cake, if you like, that we ended up playing Crusaders. I was delighted with that. It made it so much easier for those of us kind of in the Republic to travel up north, and for the Northerners to have a game on their doorstep, you know. So it was brilliant for everybody, really, to have that.
It was a great deal for us, I think, to see fans actually having to come over here to watch Wolves playing from Wolverhampton rather than us travelling over. Because a lot of people were saying, God, I was up this morning to get a flight at 5 o'clock to come over here, you know. And we were saying, now you know how we feel every second week when we're going over.
Yeah, exactly.
It just kind of moving on to more recent times. In 2018, Wolves themselves kind of got started a Worldwide Wolves supporters section where they had the whole, and they opened up the lounge in that's just after the start of the season in 2018. So, do you think that's been a great bonus for Irish Wolves?
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite interesting, actually, because Alan Perrins, who's currently in charge of it and basically set up the Worldwide Wolves Network, before he was involved and employed by the club to do this kind of work, a guy called, I think it's Paul Roberts, was the initial guy that did try and look into setting this up. And, you know, I think he kind of got the ball rolling a little bit a few years earlier, and then it stalled for whatever reason. I think it was just simply the case that he moved position. He kind of moved sideways in the club to take up a different role. And
I think we actually had a meeting with him probably a couple of years before the lounge was set up,
Yeah, I do remember that. Myself and yourself, obviously, it was actually after we played Birmingham City at home. And it was, again, I think it was possibly around Easter time, but I definitely remember there were a lot of supporters from different overseas supporters clubs, because in the room that day at Molineux, we held a meeting in one of the rooms downstairs in the Billy Wright stand. There were people from Viking Wolves, Swede Wolves, Berlin Wolves, Welsh Wolves, ourselves from Irish Wolves. I think there was one or two from Scotland, and one or two other places. I can't remember exactly where now, but there were people from, you know, different supporters clubs, mostly around Europe. I don't remember there being anybody from further overseas than that. Maybe they were, but
I think Maltese lads.
Sorry,
the Maltese Wolves, I think, were there as well. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, I do remember that now, yeah. But with the Worldwide Wolves and the lounge that they've made available to us as well now, I mean, obviously, when you go in there pre-match these days, well, obviously pre-COVID, there were people there from all over the place, not just Europe, but, you know, there's various American supporters in there. You might even meet the odd one from Australia that's come home for a game or making use of a game while visiting relations. Obviously, the Maltese lads that we know very well. And that's the great thing, I think, about the Worldwide Wolves and just travelling over from overseas. You know, when you meet other people who've travelled from overseas, and over the years we've met Dutch people and Germans and all sorts of different people. You know, it's a great way of making friends, and we've become really good friends with a few of the lads from Malta Wolves particularly, as well as obviously, you know, one or two people that we've gotten to know from Swede Wolves as well. And some of the lads, actually, fair play, thinking about it, Swede Wolves would have come to Ireland, you know, for pre-season friendlies and all sorts.
Oh, they have, yeah. We met them a few times in Malahide and in Carton House, but the thing about our main claim to fame as regards Worldwide Wolves was that we were voted the Overseas Club of the Year in 2018-19. So that was a great achievement for ourselves for starting
Absolutely. It was, as you say, a great achievement. And it's great to see also in the lounge then, of course, they've created the bit of a, I don't know what you'd call it, not a plaque, but a board to show, like, you know, who the different winners are each year of the Overseas Club of the Year. And also, like, I think, isn't there an Overseas Chairman of the Year? And then I think there might be, is it a UK Supporters Club as well? And
the UK,
so we're down as the very first Overseas Supporters Club of the Year. So.
Yeah. Be interested to see who the next ones are. Just on with all the, between the pre-season trips, getting the meetings, getting our name out there. But the membership in the club, in the supporters club, has kind of increased very, very much over the last 10 years since day one.
Yeah, in the early days, obviously, you know, we still weren't known. You'd meet people in different parts of the country, and even, like, for myself living in Dublin, and meet people in Dublin who... Wolves fans, and you know, they hadn't heard of us, they didn't know anything about us. And we just went to show that every year, year on year, we just, no matter what, no matter how Wolves were performing and what division we were in, we just had to keep plugging away and advertising ourselves and getting our name out there, you know. And obviously, in the early days, we were Premier League, and then, of course, not long after, we got relegated and the membership went down. And I've always said it, that the membership of the Irish Wolves Supporters Club always reflects, basically, the how the club themselves are performing, you know. When we got relegated two seasons in a row, I think our membership was at the lowest it had ever been. And then, of course, lo and behold, we get promoted back into the Championship. A couple of years in the Championship, back into the Premier League, and the numbers are, you know, the highest I think we've ever had. But, of course, the thing is as well, over the years, we were still finding our feet, and it does take a long time to properly establish a supporters' club. You've got to work out what is your, like, what are the benefits to being a member of your supporters club? And unless we have something that we can offer people, you know, that's unique to the supporters club, well, you know, they're going to think, well, what's the point of being a member, or what's the point of paying up for membership, even if it's only 15 euros or 10 euros as it has been in previous years.
Yeah.
So the fact that these days we actually do get an overseas supporters club ticket allocation. And of course, as well as that, we obviously have utilised, members of the club. We've become members of My Wolves membership, and we've shared our My Wolves membership numbers with each other within the club. And we've bought some memberships for the club specifically to increase our ability to get tickets. And I think the fact that now people who live in Ireland, who obviously can't always travel over to matches, they only want to go to a few games a year, or they're only able to go to a few games a year, they know that they can get tickets by being a membership, being a member of Irish Wolves. Whereas if they were purely to rely on contacting the ticket office directly, you know yourself, unless they've got so many loyalty points, there's not a hope in hell they're going to get a ticket. So being a member of Irish Wolves is really now paying off for people purely because they can get tickets.
Yeah. It has, as you say, it has been reflected over the years with, you know, you could have a graph of where Wolves are in terms of league position and division, you know, and the membership in our club. And it's great that we've got into a situation, I suppose, where we can provide that facility of people being able to sign up, maybe go one or two games a year, and we had to provide them with tickets. But just with the way things are at the moment, and not really knowing what's ahead, I suppose this season has been written off from the point of view of fans. I know there's talk of maybe the last game or two, but overall it's been written off. So where do you see the club being now when the summer and when next season starts, as opposed to trying to, you know, maintain the membership we have, and, you know, what sort of arrangements we'll have to move forward as a club?
Well, I'd like to think that, as I just said, our membership is kind of linked to the performance of Wolves. Ultimately, I'm obviously extremely confident that we're not going to get relegated this season. We might not be doing as well as the previous two seasons, but it's consolidation. And it's been a very difficult season for everybody involved. And I just think that, fingers crossed, regarding COVID and all the goings on with that, that fans will be able to return to stadiums for the following season, whenever that starts. But I assume it will be September of this year, September 2021. As regards ourselves here in Ireland, it all depends for us really here on our vaccination rollout and what the rules are concerning travel. Because obviously currently we can't travel without quarantining on either side. You know, going over to England, we'd have to quarantine. Coming back here, we'd have to quarantine. You'd be spending literally a month in quarantine to go to a single game, you know. So fingers crossed for us. Now, maybe the quarantine situation might not be gone in September. So it might be that we're sitting at home watching Wolves on TV and UK-based fans can go to the games, but we're going to be stuck for a while. I'd like to think that maybe by next Christmas, in 9 months' time, we will be able to travel. We will all be fully vaccinated, and the quarantines, therefore, on both sides will be gone. And
you never know, Andy. I mean, all lads like myself and Mick will probably be well vaccinated, you know, by the start of next season, and we'll be flying over again.
Well, hopefully so. I mean, but as I say, even for the older members of the club who may be vaccinated, it all comes down to what are the rules going to be around actual quarantining on either side, you know, in the UK and here back here in Ireland. So, it's so hard to say. But as regards our own membership, look, I think people will stick with us because they know ultimately when we can travel and when the stadiums are open again, we will be available to deal with tickets again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's good. So I suppose we have the rest of the season to look forward to, and hopefully we'll finish as high up as the table as we can. Probably Europe is probably out of the picture, but you know. But I think, you know, we'll, as I say, we'll keep positive. And Andy, it's been great talking to you, and no doubt we'll talk again very soon. So thanks a million for your time, and sure, we'll see you in the future.
Okay, thanks very much.
See you, Andy. Take care.
See you now.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.